Hi, my name is Lana. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from control, pride, and a lack of trust in God. Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to share my testimony tonight and for your story of grace in my life. Please calm my nerves, and if it is your will, use my sharing of how you have changed my heart to be part of your rescue plan for someone in this room to come to have a closer relationship with Jesus. In your name I pray, amen. I grew up in an extended family with several adult alcoholics. Our family gatherings were often marked by out-of-control anger, screaming, crying, and sometimes even physical violence. Never knowing when this anger might erupt controlled me, caused me to walk on eggshells and to try to keep the peace at all costs. The result of these instances of rage created shame in our family, but we never spoke of it afterwards or even acknowledged that it had occurred. In an attempt to prevent these outbursts, I developed patterns of taking control of situations, people-pleasing, and performance. To distract from the tension that I could sense was building and using anger to manipulate the behavior of others. As I got older, I learned that I could also control others by yelling, pouting, criticizing, and giving the silent treatment to others when I was hurt, frustrated, or insecure. Often, I tried to stuff my feelings of fear or insecurity and pretend they did not exist. As a child, I was just trying to keep peace in the family. As a teenager and young adult, I refined these skills and used them as coping mechanisms in my relationships with others. Although to others I appeared to be well-educated, articulate, and self-confident, as I started my career and later as a full-time mom, I was often too insecure to be myself, voice my opinion, or speak up when something bothered me. Inside, I often seethed with anger. It took a while, but then something small would set me off, and I would explode, yelling, criticizing, and speaking harshly, usually to those I love the most, especially my husband and my kids. The sad thing was, I thought my anger was justified, and I often blamed others for my behavior and emotions. Finally, my low point came when my kids were about to go off to college, and they did not want to go on a family vacation that I had been trying to plan for months. My years of trying to control my family and situations and the angry behavior that inevitably followed when I was unable to do so had alienated those I loved the most, and they did not want to spend time with me. I was devastated by this realization. After years of looking for life in the idols of a perfect family, materialism, and approval from others, I finally came to regeneration in the fall of 2013. Let me back up to tell you that growing up in my family of origin was not all bad. We had some good times, and I know my parents love me. As an adult, I now recognize how broken and insecure they were because of how they were raised and the limitations of their own parents. They did the best they knew how to do. We attended church every Sunday, but I had no idea what it meant to have a personal relationship with God. I identified myself as a Christian, but my real identity was in performing well in school, following the rules, and pleasing others. I liked being the smart girl and the teacher's pet. I was taught to value material success and personal accomplishments, as well as looking good at all cost. Hard work, performance, and achievements were highly valued and expected in my family. I grew up believing it was shameful to admit you struggled or needed help, or that I didn't have everything all figured out. In middle school and high school, I became painfully aware of my awkward appearance, and I desperately wanted to fit in, but I was a nerd. I envied how all the popular girls looked and watched from afar as kids went to parties and participated in school activities. As I got older, I rebelled by using drugs and alcohol and having a sexual relationship with an older guy. I felt like I didn't really fit in anywhere and finished high school feeling isolated from friends and family. In the new environment of college, my social life improved with a new circle of friends. I partied at night and on the weekends, but continued to excel in school, winning the approval of my parents and teachers. I distracted myself from the emptiness I felt inside with the busyness of school, a serious boyfriend, and social activities. After graduating from law school and getting married, I began working at my dream job in a prestigious downtown law firm. I thought I had made it, that all my hard work in school would pay off, and that my loneliness and insecurities would finally go away. but I quickly learned this was not the case. Long hours were required at work, and I soon became disillusioned about my professional and personal life. To the outside world, I was considered successful, being married to a wonderful husband, having a great job, owning my own home, and enjoying all that Dallas had to offer. Despite having many things that the world told me would bring contentment and happiness, I was empty inside. I vividly remember crying out and desperately asking God at 25 years of age, "Is this all there is?" As my familiar feelings of fear, insecurity, and anger came back, I relied on coping mechanisms I had learned as a young girl to avoid dealing with my emotions. I instead distracted myself by focusing on my career, stuffing my real feelings, and people-pleasing to gain the approval of others. Several years passed. My husband and I had two kids, and I had the opportunity to stay home and be a full-time mom. I wholeheartedly threw myself into being the best mom I could be. During this season, I regularly attended church, tithed, served on committees and boards, participated in charity work, volunteered at the kids' school and nonprofit groups. I found my identity in the idols of approval from others, my own accomplishments, and my family. Despite all my works, I still did not have a relationship with God. I felt like I was on a hamster wheel of trying to please God and others. I thought if I could just do a little bit more, try a little harder, check all the boxes of what I was supposed to do, things would get better. I thought God was keeping score of my faults and all the ways I failed him, and I began to resent God. Church just became part of my checklist. The harder I tried to follow the church rules of what I thought I was supposed to do, the more I grew to resent God because in my heart I could never do enough to earn my way to heaven. My religious life resembled what Isaiah 29:13 says. These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. As the years passed, the nagging hole in my heart grew into anger at God and my family. In my twisted thinking, I mistakenly believed that my constant efforts or my accomplishments entitled me to be happy, and that my negative feelings must be the result of something God and my family was doing or not doing to withhold it from me. No matter how hard I tried or how much I had, in my mind I believed it was never enough to please God or bring me the happiness I longed for. Too often I judged others, or I was envious of what someone else had, or their accomplishments, or the vacations they went on. My life became a constant cycle of anger, unhappiness, and disappointment towards God and my family, and my heart was bitter, insecure, and fearful. I was resentful that my family wasn't measuring up to my expectations, which were born out of what I thought others expected of me. I was often angry and vocally critical and negative towards my husband and kids. Often my love for my family was conditional, based on what I believed they had or hadn't done to make me happy. I actually blamed them for my unhappiness and thought that if they would change, I could be better, do better, and would not need to scream. My life was out of control, and that made me angrier still. I was on the same path that Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death." My recovery in Christ has been a journey that still continues today. After attending Watermark for some time, I began hearing the gospel in a way I had not heard it before. My hardened heart began to soften as I witnessed people dealing with their sin in the open, trying to live authentically and honestly admitting their struggles. Up until this point, my limited idea of sin was mistakenly based on a superficial reading of the Ten Commandments, and I truly had no concept of what sin really is. Even after a greater understanding, humility came hard for me. Step one, admit that we are powerless over our addictions, brokenness, and sinful patterns, and that without God, our life is unmanageable. It was scary for me to admit that I had sinful patterns of behavior and that I needed help to change, especially since I had spent my whole life trying to convince myself and others that everything in my life was good. As I came to Regen each week, sometimes begrudgingly, I listened to the testimony of others just like me. The image of a life I had worked so hard to control by relying on my own efforts began to crumble as I came to understand that all along, the only thing that could fill the eternal longing in my heart, the deep need to be loved for who I am despite my sin, can only come from a deep, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. As I listened to others sharing their sin struggles, God exposed the hidden pride in my own heart. I became painfully aware of my sinfulness in light of God's holiness, and I knew I needed to make a decision to humble myself before God and others. It was scary for me to reveal my secrets to others because I had kept them hidden for so long in an effort to be perfect. Romans 3:23 says, All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I began to find freedom in sharing the truth about my sin and my life. Even if I hated it while I was doing it, there was relief afterwards. The other ladies in my group were not judgmental, but were kind and accepting. I came to see that my sins of anger, control, and people-pleasing were really just symptoms of something much deeper, my lack of trust in God. I knew I needed to surrender control of my life and my loved ones' lives to Him. I asked God to heal my heart and was met with unconditional love, the freedom of assurance of my salvation, and God's forgiveness as a beautiful gift of God's grace. These things did not happen overnight. It was a long emotional year with many teary confessions and humbling experiences, but it was so very worth it. As my group came to a close, I could see that God was still pursuing me and parts of my heart that still needed healing. It took a second time and another year of me attending Regen to grasp the true nature of God and how much He really loves me. During this time, I was able to comprehend God's unending capacity to love me, even in my brokenness, and that I am perfectly and wonderfully made. During the second year in Regen, I came to understand that I didn't need to perform a certain way or do anything else to earn God's love. He just loves me anyway, even though I am a broken sinner. I learned that God has forgiven me for every single sin I have ever committed in the past or those I will commit in the future, and that I am reconciled to God by His grace and my faith alone, not anything I do or fail to do. I only had to accept His free gift of grace. I began to understand what I needed to do to repent of my sin and follow Christ daily by reading His word, worshiping God, having regular and authentic fellowship with other Christians, and giving glory to God for the grace He has given me. I was able to forgive others that I had harbored resentment over for so many years, not because of an apology they gave me, but because God has forgiven me. This concept was life-changing and truly freeing, opening my heart to a greater capacity to love and forgive others. Since then, I have pursued amends and reconciliation with others, and each day I am learning to humble myself, pick up my cross, and follow Him. Although I have always called myself a Christian, it took more than 40 years for God to change my actions, attitudes, thoughts, and words to reflect what I now understand being a Christian really means. Sometimes I'm still guilty of thinking that I know better than God what is best for me, and I fall back into my old habit of trying to control others. Too many times I act on what I think should be done instead of releasing my situation to God's plan and timing. I become fearful that He will not come through with the result and timing of my desires. My sinful nature desires outcomes that make sense to me and fit into my space and time. When I recognize this and turn back to Him, God is merciful and proves Himself faithful to me every day. The more I yield to God, the happier my life is. Proverbs 19:21 says, "You can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." I am learning that even my best laid plans, born out of my own need to control, will fail if they aren't God's plans. It gives me peace to remind myself of who is in control, and daily I rely on Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Because of Christ, my life is free. Because I know God has forgiven me and my salvation is secure, I am less angry and am learning to be less controlling while trusting in God's perfect plan. I understand and believe in the truth of God's word, and I am learning to obey it. God is teaching me how I am part of His rescue plan to save other sinners just like me by being honest about my brokenness and sharing His story of grace and how God has changed me through a relationship with Him. I've had the privilege this past year of serving as a co-leader to a beautiful group of women in Regen, and by serving with another ministry that provides one-on-one Christian caregiving to hurting people. These opportunities to serve have been a gift to me and further deepened my continued recovery. I'm still learning how to walk with God daily and have a deeper relationship with Him, and I am slowly able to surrender control of my life to God and trust Him in everything. My relationship with my husband is being restored, and I'm praying for restoration with my adult children as I share my story with them, make amends for past mistakes, and ask for their forgiveness. Before my new life in Christ, I used to only go to church to check this item off my to-do list. Now I look forward to Sunday morning. It is one of my favorite times of the week. I enjoy reading and hearing God's word and learning about the wonderful examples of truth God has given us in the Bible to direct our lives. God has given me a new heart and changed my thinking. I understand now who God is, how much he loves me and who he says I am, instead of allowing myself to be defined by who the world says I should be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. I know that my new identity in Christ is that I am loved, forgiven, redeemed, worthy, and I am a daughter of the King with a right to an inheritance. Just a few months ago, I was blessed to openly share my new life in Christ with others when I was baptized with three other women from my region small group. I am at peace knowing that my salvation is secure, and I am humbled by the gift of grace that I have received with Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection into heaven. If I could tell you one thing, the most important thing you can know is that God loves you. And the most important thing you can do in life is to know God and love him back. God set eternity and a desire to know him inside every human heart. The empty place inside your heart that you have been trying to fill with the struggle that brought you in the door tonight, only God can fill. If God can change my hardened heart and renew my mind after more than 40 years, he can do the same for you. If this is your first time here, I want to welcome you. If you're here tonight out of desperation because you have nowhere left to go or have hit rock bottom or came here simply because for as long as you can remember, you've had a nagging feeling in your heart that there has to be more to life than the life you have been living, you are in the right place. You are with a room full of people who have been where you are and understand how you feel. In taking this first step, you are embarking on a journey that will transform your life here on earth and assure your eternal life in heaven. Thank you for letting me share.